Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I'm here with Hayward from Accelerated Performance in Virginia. What's up, Hayward? How are you today?
I'm doing well, Bree. I hope you are.
Yes, doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Awesome. So let's jump right into the details here, wasting no time. What is it that made you want to own your own gym? How did you get started?
Well, it's an interesting background. I started out, I was actually working in restaurants many years ago, bartending, and then had a young child, and the restaurant hours just didn't jive with having a young kid, you know, getting home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, trying to get up early to take him to school and then trying to function on no sleep. So, you know, at that point we just basically said we need to make a decision on what we want to do. Do we want to continue being in restaurants or do we want to try and do something different? And so we'd always worked out, you know, and loved being in a gym. So I was like, well, let's go work for a gym and see what happens. And, and this was back in 1990. And then in 96, one of the owners, that's when personal training was starting to get some, you know, some traction in Virginia. And Roanoke's a small town. So it's, you know, things may have been big other places, but in Roanoke, it's, you know, it takes a while for things to catch on. So, but at that point in time, the owner offered us an opportunity to get personal training certifications through NASM. So we all jumped on it. And at that time, it was, you know, it didn't matter if it was salespeople or people that were working in the gym as trainers or, you know, the manager. Basically, they're like, anybody that wants to do it, we'll pay for it.
Wow.
So basically, that was my introduction into personal training. And at that time, I worked for that company probably until 97, I think it was. And at that time, I could see that on that side of town, there just weren't a lot of people that could afford, you know, to pay I think it was $30 an hour back then for personal training. So we went to a different club at that point in time, Roanoke Athletic Club, and worked there for about 7 years. And during that time, we started getting more into functional training, started getting some certifications with Paul Check, certifications with Perform Better and some of the things that they were offering. And then we started learning more about athletic training and performance-based training. And, you know, that's great to work with young athletes doing that, but it's actually way more important to work with our older clientele doing that as opposed to the younger people, because, you know, yeah, when you're young, you want to get more explosive. You want to be more athletic. You want to be able to perform at a high level. But, you know, when you're older, it's being able to get down on the ground. It's being able to get off the ground. It's being able to, you know, get over a fence if you have to. If you ever lock your keys in a house and you have to climb over a fence, you have to, you know, you need to be strong enough to be able to pull yourself up to do that. So we were doing it, doing some functional core training at that point in time and some more athletic things. And the gym, it was a big spot, a big box gym that we worked in. And at that point in time, you know, a lot of people were complaining about, you know, how much room we took up or how much space we took up. If they weren't doing that type of training, they were a little intimidated by it. They didn't know exactly what was going on. So, so at that point in time, it was like, okay, well, you know, I can either change my style of training or I can go out on my own.
Right.
So we opted to go out on our own, not knowing what the hell we were doing as far as running a business, not knowing what it would take, not knowing how many hours it would take, not really having any money. You know, but we had some equity in our house. So, you know, we were willing to put our house on the line to do that. And, you know, that was back in 2004. And, you know, we've gone through a couple, you know, economic crises during that time and kept our head above water. It has not been easy. Sometimes, you know, you're doing really well and you're thinking, man, this is great. It's like I'm printing money here. Next thing you know, an economic crisis happens. And then, you know, you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Right.
And then things start to pick back up and we're got traction again. And then next thing you know, COVID happens. So
yeah,
it seems like every 10 years, there's another crisis that we're trying to work our way through to, you know, to get through those times.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a little bit wild after, you know, over the last few years in the industry as a whole. And, you know, over, I think, well, it's around about 40% of gyms have actually closed over the last couple of years. So it's crazy. So even just to have your doors open at this point is a huge accomplishment in and of itself. So
interesting for us is when we first opened back in 2004, they were on our side of town within probably a 15-mile radius. There were maybe 5 personal training studios total. Mm-hmm. There was nobody doing it.
Right.
And now within about a 2-mile radius, there's about 6. Actually, yeah, you go from our studio, if you drive down the road a half a mile in one direction, you'll pass 4.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them, I know a couple of the owners and I talk to them and everybody's, you know, struggling to keep their head above water right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's been challenging to say the least, that's for sure. So now within your facility, what does your business model look like? Are you mostly one-on-ones? Do you do any semi-privates or groups or?
Yes.
All of the above.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
When we first started out, we were doing mainly one-on-one, or we do like if it was a husband and wife or a father and a son or a mother and a daughter or father-daughter, whatever, we might train 2 people at a time or 3 people at a time. But it was basically individual sessions. And now, a couple of years ago, right before COVID happened, I decided I wanted to try and go more with a unlimited type of model where they paid a flat rate. I dedicated so many hours per day to they could come into the gym to get that rate, and they could get in up to 5 times a week if they wanted to come in that many. Mm-hmm. And I've got a few people that are doing that. I still have a few people that are doing the individual sessions. By doing that though, it's allowed me to have more free time during the day without it negatively impacting my revenue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's been good for me. So now, you know, I've got a couple of people that, you know, that I train that I actually travel to their place. And one's about an hour away, but he lives in town, but he's a dentist about an hour away. And so he pays me, you know, a couple times a week to come up and train him and his staff. Which it's funny because, you know, he's a dentist, and I think out of that staff of 9 people, only 2 take advantage of it, him and 1 other person.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like willing to pay for it. He's like, and every day when they're leaving, hey, you guys want to work out? I'm paying for it. And they won't take advantage of it. So yeah, that's a little bit disappointing that more people don't take advantage of it, because all of them will sit there and, you know, they talk about when they're leaving. And I've been doing this now with him for about 5 years. And, you know, so I sit there and I've gotten to know a lot of these people, and, you know, they ask me questions about losing weight or things that they should do exercise wise. And, you know, I'm constantly inviting them in to join, but, you know, they're, by the time the day is done, they just want to get the hell out of there and go home.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I get it, because, you know, it's something new. And, you know, what is it? I think it's habits, routines, lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes about 60 to 90 days to get in the habit of doing something. It takes about 6 months for it to become a routine, and it takes about 18 months for it to become lifestyle.
Right.
And most people don't want to go through the pain.
No.
Of the habit, routine, lifestyle, you know, and I may have that out of order. It might be routine, habit, lifestyle, but whatever it is, you know, I know that most people don't want to dedicate the time that it takes to get to that level.
Right. Yeah. And so many people along those same lines are just afraid of failing, right? So it's like they're more afraid to try and fail.
Right.
And it's easier for them to just not try, because then by default, they don't fail, you right. know?
But the thing is, when you fail, you don't fail. I tell people, you either succeed or you learn.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's like when you're coming into a gym to work out, whether it's a big box gym or whether it's, you know, an individual style gym, there's always going to be someone there willing to help you and that wants to help you. Because most of us remember walking into that gym for the first time and being very intimidated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to ask somebody for help, even if it's just asking for a spot, mm-hmm. you know, most people are willing to help you. They're willing to give you a spot. And, you know, and if it's someone that's been in the gym for a long time, they can assess people and they'll look at you and be like, you're going to try and lift this weight. Mm-hmm. You know, they just get really, you know, they're honest with people. It's like, dude, you're not ready for that. Or, you know, you're not ready to do that type of load yet.
Right.
But if you're willing to go in there and ask for help, that's what trainers are there for. That's why you hire a trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the people I've been very fortunate with my business. I've had some of my clients since 96. Mm. So I've seen them, you know, go through every phase of their life, almost from having young children to having children that are, you know, adults now, and they're having kids to them being parents and retiring from work. And they don't stick with me because, you know, I'm always constantly coming up with something new and different. It's because they feel comfortable there and they feel that, you know, I've got their best interest at heart. As a trainer, that's our job, you know, first and foremost. It's not about what we want. You know, it's about what that person needs.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many people out there that do need the services that you're providing.
Yeah, I mean, we all think about it. It's like I had one client. I've got some young softball players that I'm working with right now. And actually, we just kind of taper them off because they're getting ready to start their seasons. They're 11 mm-hmm. years old. And, you know, the parents were kind of complaining about how expensive it was. And this was like at the first meeting. And I said, well, you know, it's really interesting. And I said, you do know that LeBron James spends over $1 million a year hiring people to help him get ready for his next season and to maintain his body during the season that he's in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he makes a lot of money. And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, LeBron James is basically one of the most athletic, most skilled people you will ever see. And he still hires someone to help him
mm-hmm.
every year.
Right.
No one gets through it alone. I said, hell, I hire people.
Yeah.
I hire people to help me with my nutrition. I hire people to help me, you know, with things I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, as much as I would love to be able to do it all, you know, none of us can.
Right.
And I said, once you understand that this isn't just paying for a service, this is an investment into your child or an investment into yourself. And I said, it's amazing how people will spend an infinite amount of money or, you know, on health insurance. Mm-hmm. They'll complain about it, but they'll spend it every month. And yet they don't go to the doctor that month. They might go to the doctor if they're decently healthy once a year for mm-hmm. an annual checkup. But yet they still pay that money just in case shit happens. Excuse me, can we cuss?
Yeah, yeah, you're good.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one analogy that I really like to make is like a car payment, you know, because a lot of people have a car payment and it's like, okay, well, how many cars will you have over your life? You know, probably a few, four, maybe more, depending, you know, and you pay $500 a month, you know, maybe more, less if you're lucky, but probably somewhere around $500. That's just for the car. And then you've got the insurance on top of it. And it's like, you're going to have multiple cars throughout your life. But then when you're talking about yourself and your body,
right,
you only get one,
right?
You know, so being willing to invest money into your body, it should be the most important thing, you know?
One of the first things that I end up doing with almost all of my clients is rewiring their thinking.
Yes.
Is understanding that you're not paying for basically a training session. You're paying for knowledge.
Yeah.
And I've spent years going through schooling, years reading books and years going through nutrition classes, years studying, you know, different forms of techniques of strength training, you know, sprint work. You know, there's so many things that we need to do within our workouts. And I've got a couple of signs in my studio that, you know, it says push, pull, carry, hinge, squat, jump, sprint, you know, and I'm like, if you're not doing at least five of these seven in every workout, then you're missing the point.
Right.
And so these are things that we have to address in our bodies, because as we age, the things that we don't use, our body is very efficient. It will get rid of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I've got a lot of clients now that are in their 40s and 50s, and, you know, they talk about how they feel so much better. I had one guy that I posted a sign probably back in probably September, I think it was, you know, basically on Facebook saying, looking for, you know, dads 35 and older looking to get rid of their dad bod. And I had a few guys respond to it, and the ones that have stuck with it, you know, they're talking about now how, you know, about 5 months later, they've lost about 25 pounds. You know, they're fitting into clothes that they used to, you know, that they thought they'd never get into again. They feel better. And the first thing that we talked about was, you know, nutrition. And I was like, we got to address your nutrition. I said, because right now you're thinking of your car as being just some old beat up junker. I said, you need to think of your body as being a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, and you want to put 93 fuel in it. I said, right. 93 fuel is organic foods. It's things that are unprocessed. It's things that are, you know, raw. You eat lots of raw fruits and vegetables. You eat lots of high protein. I said, and that's hard if you're a vegetarian or vegan. I said, but you got to figure out ways to get your protein in. Mm-hmm. And the ones that buy into it, they've made huge changes. They're seeing great production in the body. The ones that don't, they still come in, but they haven't bought in yet, but they're still coming in. So I'm like, okay, it's going to take you a little bit longer, but you know, you'll get there.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes it just takes people a little bit longer to see the big picture, you know, but I'm sure that the other people getting those results really helps them to see what's possible as well.
One of the things that, you know, that I've really noticed is in my semi-private sessions, these people are becoming a community. You know, I see them, they'll friend each other on Facebook because I'm friends with all of them all anyway. And then all of a sudden that one person will post something and I'll say, oh, that guy's responding to it. Oh, okay. She's responding to it now. And, you know, and then a couple of the guys are like basketball coaches. And, you know, a lot of us have the background of being coaches, you know, even the ones that come that I'm training. And so we talk shop all the time. And and then when one guy has a game, we're all either watching it online or we're going to the games and watching and we're talking about it the next day. And, you know, so you've got this extended family. And when you have that, you feel a little bit more commitment to coming in and working out each and every day.
Definitely. Yeah. That community, it helps to hold people accountable. And that's a big piece. You know, a lot of people just need some sort of accountability. Right. You know, and then it gets to a point where they're not even necessarily coming in for the workout. They're coming in for the community, you know, and for the other people being there for them. And because they know if they don't show up, somebody's going to be like, hey, where are you? You know,
get the text. It's funny. I send a group text out to everybody when I'm heading to the studio in the morning. And you know, most guys are like, on my way, or, you know, already here waiting on you. What's going on? And so when someone doesn't show up or they don't respond to the text, we'll send out a meme of a cat where they're over top of the owner, patting them on the face, trying to wake them up. You know? Aww. And it's so funny because sometimes you guys will be like, they'll send a text and like, I'm on my way. Don't send that damn cat, you know?
That's fun. It's good. It's good that you have fun with your members, and, you know, got to keep it fun and light and, absolutely, you know, keep people motivated. So that's awesome.
Yeah, the goal is to, you know, have them understand that this habit routine lifestyle, or routine habit lifestyle. I'm not sure which one it is, but
yeah,
and the only way that happens is you've got to invest the time in doing it. Mm-hmm. What was it? Michael, is it Outliers? I think it is. And Michael Gladwell, I think, is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. But he talks about what it takes to become a pro at something. And in this book, he talks about Bill Gates, and he talks about hockey players or basketball players and musicians, and, you know, just people that are very successful in many different fields. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen overnight. There are no overnight success stories. But it's about them putting in the 10,000 hours.
Right.
And the more time that you put into something, and that's the same goes with working out. And 10,000 hours, you think about, if I work out 40 hours a week, which no one's going to do.
Right.
You know, that would be 5 years of doing working out 40 hours a week just to become a professional at it.
Right.
So, and it's not just going to the gym and, you know, doing the strength training aspect. It's also the part of doing the nutrition. It's the part of making sure you get enough water. It's a part of making sure you get enough rest, not consuming lots of alcohol, you know, avoiding processed foods like this, like it's the devil.
Right.
You know, things that, you know, people will think, well, I want to eat this way. It's like, yeah, that's great. But, you know, you're going to pay for that down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going to see people that if they're drinking tons of sodas, it's like, oh, that's just empty calories. It's like, to hell with the calories. You can burn off calories.
Right.
What it does to your pancreas and your liver, you know, long-term effects of that are so much worse than a few, you know, gaining 10 pounds or 15 pounds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as your membership base goes, or your client base rather, how many clients do you currently have?
I have that are doing the flat rate. I have 27 clients that are doing that. And then I have another, I think it's 12 clients that do individual sessions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you mentioned something about running an offer earlier to that got some new people in. Yeah. So what does your marketing look like currently? How are you getting the word out there about what it is that you do?
It's, you know, it's more organic. It's more referring, you know, hoping that people are going to refer people, bring them in, you know, once they start working out, hey, do you know anybody that's looking to come in also? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Why don't you bring them in? If you can bring them in, you know, if they decide to join, I'll give both of you 50% off next month. You know, and then they usually are motivated to find one or two people to do that. Also, I do, you know, like every day I'll post some, you know, a couple things on Facebook and then Instagram, either exercises that I'm doing, some nutritional stuff that, you know, food that I'm eating, things that I prep on a daily basis. I talk about meal prep and how to, you know, kind of take the guesswork out of your food. And, you know, if you prep on, you know, Sunday, I usually do meal prep for the first half of the week, you know, the last two or three days, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I can just wing it, you know, cause I can, you know, prep some stuff on Wednesday night. And then, you know, Friday I'll prep Thursday night for Friday. So, you know, I also do things as far as meals, you know, showing people things that, you know, that I'm eating on a daily basis to get them interested that way. So, and it's one of those things where a lot of times, a lot of people may not respond to that, or they may not, you know, say, call me up immediately from it. But, you know, eventually down the road, someone will reach out to me and they're like, yeah, I've been looking at your exercises for a while and, you know, finally decided to reach out to you. So, you know, it's the old adage as far in advertising, they usually don't see it once and then respond. They have to see it several times before they actually decide to do it.
Yes.
And, you know, and even on Instagram, heck, I started back on Instagram probably about 10 months ago, you know, and then trying to post videos on a daily basis. Actually, I was doing them once a week at that point in time. And I think I had 174 followers at the time. And then I started doing it twice a week. And then, you know, one of my clients, he's, you know, more of a computer nerd. He's like, dude, if you want to really, you know, get some interest in your Instagram account, you're going to have to start doing it every day.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes, probably 2 to 3 times a day. And he said, also, you don't want to be that person that posts a video and, you know, then someone goes to check out your account and they have like 2 exercise videos up there.
Right.
So I've been doing, you know, better with that. I probably put out 1 or 2 a day. And I picked up several followers since then. I'm up over 500 followers now, which, you know, it's not a lot, but for me, I was like, you know, an old guy that's, you know, trying to learn technology or keep up with it. I'm like, hell, I've got 500 followers. I don't know if that's pretty damn good for me. You know, a lot of people, you know, the other guys that are doing it, they have like, you know, there are a couple people that I talk to, they have 40,000 or, you know,
yeah.
And then, you know, a couple guys that I follow, they've got, you know, 1 million. And I'm like, Jesus.
I know. It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
Is. And, you know, I'm sure I've never talked to them about, you know, how much money they're making off of that. But, you know, if they've got 1 million followers, I'm sure that's they're making a huge living just off of that. Because, you know, I know that I was listening to someone and they were talking about podcasts and, you know, getting your podcast downloaded. And the guy was saying, basically, if you can get 5,000 people, 5,000 downloads a week on your podcast, you're in the upper 1% of, you know, podcasters. You know, like if you get over 50,000, you know, you're making 6 figures, you know, so you figure, I don't know how that correlates with Instagram and, you know, having followers and how many people, but, you know, I'm sure if you've got, you know, 500,000 to 1 million followers, that's got to be you know, some serious money.
Some people do that full time, just, you know, post on Instagram full time, which is wild.
Right. That's but, and the quality of their videos. I mean, some of these guys that I follow, you know, they've got, they, they give credits to the person that's filming the video when they're doing their reels. And a couple of them are dancers, and they were talking about how just to post a video, they'll practice the dance, you know, for their, what is it, 30 seconds, 60 seconds that's on the reel. They'll practice it for 2 to 3 hours.
Right.
And to film it, to get it before what they release, it'll take them about an hour to film it. So, you know, it's you sit there and you see the finished product and you're thinking, man, that's great quality. That's incredible. But what you don't see is how much
they
put into it behind the scenes to make sure that when it actually goes to, you know, production and when it's ready, that it looks great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is a lot of work on the back end for that kind of stuff. You just don't really realize it, you know? So now, have you ever done any type of paid advertising on like Facebook, Instagram, Google at all?
Yes, I have. I did it on Facebook. I wasn't really pleased with the results of it. I had a lot of people respond to it. A lot of appointments were set up, but it was like, they weren't quality returns.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had, you know, sure, I'd get people in there and I had a ton of people come in, but, you know, it was like just a revolving door, people coming in and leaving and coming in and leaving. And, you know, I just couldn't, you know, get anyone or any traction with it. So I just kind of went back to what I was doing it. And, you know, I was like, all right, my goal is to, I've got a decent base. I don't need to, influx myself with a bunch of new clients. It's not like I'm opening up a new studio. So, you know, if I can add 3 clients, you know, and that was the goal, you know, going into this year, to pick up 3 clients every month from, because there's always people quitting, you know, for whatever reason. Either they're starting a sport or their job has changed or they've got an injury or whatever it might be. So, you know, my goal is to always pick up from the people that leave versus the ones that I'm adding. If I can be a +3 every month, you know, my goal is about, you know, July to, you know, I should be close to 40 at that point in time.
Right. You
know, okay. 40 flat fee members. And then, you know, the individual sessions, you know, eventually I'd like to get out of those altogether as well. But, you know, I've got some people that I've had for years that do that and they still want to do that. So I've got a certain, you know, sense of loyalty and commitment to them because, you know, when I was just first starting out, they were there. So I'm not going to, you know, ignore them, act like they're not important to.
Okay. And now, what are the main bottlenecks right now that you're facing within the business, if there are any specific bottlenecks?
It's not necessarily the business itself as opposed to just my schedule. But the things that I do notice is that early morning, I've got a group of 7 people that come in, you know, for that time. Mm-hmm. The next time is a 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, filling that, and I can move it up to 7. I'm happy to move it to that. I can move it back a little bit. I can, you know, even do a 9 o'clock to kind of accommodate, you know, people dropping their kids off at school or whatever. But those are harder times to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even going after a little bit more of the retired society, you know, because they've got more free time. I read this one trainer out in Arizona, and basically that's all they did. They were younger guys, but they worked nothing but with people that were older and retired citizens. And they're like, they've got plenty of money.
Yeah.
They don't want to come in early in the morning to work out and they don't want to be there late. So you've got really condensed time of training them. And, you know, so I need to, you know, try and figure something out of that nature, maybe start targeting a little bit more of, you know, the retired people. But it seems in this area, a lot of people, when they retire, they get the hell out of here. You know, they moved to Florida. They, you know, they spend half their time in Florida, half their time here, you know, so.
Right.
Because you know, it still can get some nasty weather here in a month. So, you know, that's kind of like working with athletes. You have them for a short period of time and then they go to play their sport. So.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So now what are your main focuses for the business for 2022? What are your goals look like? Where are we trying to get to?
Like I said, you know, I want to get more, a few more people at certain hours of having the flat fee rate or flat fee training sessions. Like I said, if I could pick up a +3 each month of doing that, then, you know, by the July or June, July, I would be, you know, the number I'd be actually plus a little bit more than the +40, what I'm trying to get to.
Yep.
Do I want to do plus 50? I don't know, because I'm still a one-man show. I don't have trainers. You know, my business partner, she's got her training sessions. We don't, like, if I'm training someone, I train them. And if she's training someone, she's training them. It's not like, hey, can you take these people at this hour, or, you know, that nature. So, you know, that's, so I have to kind of be, you know, cognizant of, and, you know, of what my body can and can't handle. Mm-hmm. You know, I've trained, it's funny, there's always an ebb and flow to it also. I haven't really approached or targeted athletes probably for the last 4 years. But right now I'm training, you know, quite a few softball players, and I'm training a couple soccer players and a football player that just, you know, finished his last season. And, you know, so I, you know, maybe I should go after them again, go back to the schools and start talking to, you know, the coaches or, you know, the parents, you know, about the benefits, more so at the middle school level as opposed to the high school level. Because once they hit high school, those coaches, they want them there for their strength training programs. And
right.
You know, they want them working out with the team as opposed to working out individually.
Mm-hmm.
I had one kid that I trained, and, you know, I'd been training him since he was in the fifth grade. And when he got to high school, it became, you know, a point of contention because the coach wanted him there for this,
yeah.
He wanted to continue training with me. And, you know, I was like, look, you got to go with your team. And, you know, so finally one day I get a call from the coach, and, you know, and he's talking to me about the strength training. And, you know, and fortunately we played against each other. Actually, I was a couple years ahead of him. So when I graduated, and, you know, and he's like, if I didn't know you, and if I didn't know, you know, that you were such a good athlete back then, and, you know, he goes, I would not even let him do this. He said, but because I do know you, I'm going to let him do it. And, you know, when he said, but if his numbers ever aren't where I want them to be, then he's going to have to, you know, come back and train with us.
Right.
I was like, all right, say less.
You're not
scaring me or intimidating.
Right. So,
you know, he came in and every year he would test the highest as far as strength training, you know, and hang cleans and power cleans. He was one of the strongest ones, and bench press and squats. So, you know, and those were things that we really didn't, you know, we focused on hang cleans, but, you know, we didn't do a lot of bench pressing. We didn't do a lot of squats. We did more single leg squats, more, you know, things of that nature, as opposed to just, you know, Bulgarian squats, as opposed to just doing bilateral, because
mm-hmm.
there's more benefit of getting each leg individually strong as opposed to, you know,
right.
I was like, you know, how often do you, in a sport, you know, unless you're playing basketball or volleyball and you're jumping off of both legs.
Right. Usually you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, fortunately, he never disappointed me when he came back in for this, you know, strength training aspect with the gym or with his team. So,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, now he's graduated, or he's graduating this year, and now he's back in the studio, you know, getting ready to go off to college to play. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. Okay. So now, one thing that I always love to ask every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering going their own way, doing their own thing, opening their own facility, what would that be?
First thing would probably be to hire a consultant to do it. I did not do that when we started out, and we spent a lot of time trying to figure it out on our own. I've hired a consultant since then. And it was funny that I hired a guy a couple years ago, and he was out in Seattle. And then COVID happened, and he spent half his time in Seattle, half his time in Australia. And then he moved off to Australia.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he moved back to Australia. So, you know, that's where his homeland was, and his wife was pregnant. So he decided to go there. And so that kind of fell apart with me working with him. And then I hired someone else. And I've been in the midst of working with him. And it's been good for me. You know, some of the things that they want me to do are, you know, I'm like, you know, my business is beyond that point. So I really don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But other aspects are things that, you know, that I have paid more attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Second part is, you know, it's fun. You know, don't worry about getting the best equipment or having the nicest equipment. Just get some equipment in there.
You know,
one of the things that I did, during COVID, you know, we were able to keep our gym open. But what I did is I would have people come in and we'd just do kettlebell workouts, you know, so, and you would not leave your 6x4 mat.
Right.
During the whole workout, you know, we'd do a 30-minute workout. And by the time we're done, and, you know, people were soaking wet, they're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And we've continued doing them you know, since then. And, you know, some days I'll walk in and the guys are like, let's just put 30 minutes on the clock and do a kettlebell workout today. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
So, you know, first thing is hire a consultant. Second thing, don't worry about spending a ton of money getting your equipment. First, you know, even buy some things that are going to be, you know, that you can do a lot of things with bands, get kettlebells, dumbbells. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have the latest and the greatest rack. Hell, I actually went to, when we first opened, I went to one of the recycle places in the area and they had a bunch of weights that people had brought in. Mm-hmm. They were just sitting there and they said, if you'll get this shit out of here, you can have it. They didn't charge me a penny for it. They're like,
wow.
I took them out, you know, they were rusty.
Score.
Yeah, exactly. They were rusty and dirty. I took them back to the studio, cleaned them up and painted them. And I still have them. We still use them.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that was, God, that was probably 2007, 2008 when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, 14 years later, they're still in use.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. That's a great idea. You know, if you can get equipment like that, you know, at very low to no cost, especially when you're first starting out, that's huge because so many people go in and spend so much money on equipment and, you know, before they have the client base or the membership base to be able to support it. And sometimes you get yourself in a little bit of a sticky situation. So,
I mean, it's hard. I mean, because, you know, equipment now, I mean, when I first started buying equipment, you could buy dumbbells 50 cents a pound.
Yeah.
So if you bought 180 pounds worth of dumbbells, you know, let's say 290 pound dumbbells, you know, it was what, $90.
Yeah.
Now you can't get in, you know, if you try and buy, you know, 290 pound dumbbells, you're going to spend every bit of, you know, $400 or $500 just for the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at power blocks. I've got a couple power blocks that I in my studio and, you know, those things aren't cheap.
No.
I mean, they're very, you know, diverse. You can use them for a ton of different weights, but you know, if you got nothing but power blocks in there, you're going to have a ton of money because you got to have at least six or seven of them. You know, for all your clients, if you got, you know, more multiple clients come in there at one time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, equipment's been in such a high demand over the last couple of years that it's crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I walked into Dick's the other day and I was like, let me go over here and just look at the kettlebells to see how much kettlebells are.
Yeah.
I was dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Dumbfounded. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I can't believe how expensive all this equipment has gotten.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's wild. Hopefully it goes down, you know, as things start to kind of level out a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing about gas prices and
right. Yeah. Food, everything else, you know.
The cost of a house. I mean, it's just, you know, we're sitting here and my ex-wife and I were talking and we still own a house together and we're like, well, you know, we should sell the house. And I was like, yeah, but where would you go?
Right.
Said, you know, we own it together. I said, but I've got a place I can live. I said, but everything is so expensive. I said, it'd be hard to even find something to buy to replace it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. It's like, it's good for selling right now, but not so great for buying.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But, you know, I've got, you know, a friend of mine, or it's my girlfriend. She actually works for a substance abuse company and they're buying houses and trying to help people. You know, they house a lot of these people when they're getting, you know, a lot of them come out from being in jail for whatever reason. And so they kind of helped them to transition to get, you know, have a place to stay for 6 to 8 weeks while they're working on getting clean and learning just day-to-day activities. And they've bought, I think, three houses over the last couple of years, but they have missed out on probably six or seven houses that they've tried to buy, you know, because they put, like, let's say the house is selling for 200, they'll come in and they'll put an offer of 225 in on the house, but it's contingent upon, you know, them getting approved for whatever they have to do for, you know, for Medicare or Medicaid or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
For their insurance billing. And then somebody else comes in and offers 220 or 225 or 230, you know, cash offer, and they're losing deals left and right.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing how the market has changed in so many different areas, from house to gym equipment to, you know, renting space. You know,
it's insane.
It is. The nice thing right now is that, you know, it's hard for the landlords because a lot of companies have figured out, you know what, we don't need to rent this huge space. you know, we can have people work via Zoom or, you know, WhatsApp or whatever. And so people are doing that now and they're shutting down. So a lot of, in the next couple of years, a lot of commercial space is going to be available, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that, you know, that will allow.
Right. It's no longer needed by a lot of companies.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Wild ride. All right. So as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Social media, Facebook, it's Accelerated Performance, and that's Accelerated Performance. And on Instagram, it's Excel, Excel Performance 27. And Twitter, Accelerated Performance also.
All right. Perfect. So pretty straightforward there. Alrighty. So Hayward from Accelerated Performance in Virginia. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been so great having you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. And to all of the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there and we'll catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview. Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, Marty Hill from Sweet Science Fitness in Atlanta, Georgia. Sir, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. And how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited to hear all about Sweet Science Fitness. So lay it on us. Tell us all about the business.
Yeah, this is Sweet Science Fitness Boxing Club. We're based in Atlanta, Georgia, established in 2009. We're a full-service boxing gym that specializes in teaching people the sport and art of boxing. We focus on kids' boxing programs, cardio boxing programs, amateur competitive level USA boxing programs, as well as professional boxing.
Perfect. Now, let's spend a couple of minutes. Just give us a quick background on you. Were you an amateur fighter? Were you a professional fighter? Have you just always been in the training realm? What brought you to the point of, you know, 2009 saying, I'm going to open this place and I'm going to share the sweet science with other people?
Yeah, sure. No, I actually opened the gym up in 2009. Fortunately, I didn't get a chance to grow up boxing. I actually played other sports growing up. My passions were basketball, actually in the sport of soccer. I was always a huge boxing fan, but just didn't get the chance to get to a gym and get taught as a kid. Was able to pick up the sport later on in life at about 23, 24 years in age. Had a local professional spend some time with me, training with me, and spent some time at some of the local Atlanta gyms, you know, learning the sport, working with some of the top trainers here in Atlanta. From that point on, I actually got a pretty severe back injury at about 26, 27 years old. That kind of stopped my opportunities in being able to compete at that time, which I really didn't realize was still at a very, very late stage of life. But I still allowed myself to train and learn the sport and became extremely passionate about it. The sport actually helped me lose a lot of weight. Because when I hurt my back, I went from about 175 pounds to about 205 pounds, which was the heaviest I'd ever been in my life. And being in the gym, doing boxing workouts kind of kept me, actually got a lot of weight off and helped a lot of therapy with my back. In 2009, the sport had become more so an extreme passion for me, where I left the corporate sector. I was an executive recruiter or headhunter and left that to focus on the sport of boxing full time and, you know, developing myself as a coach and learning how to train and how to teach people. At the time, I assumed that my window to do competitive boxing actually had closed on me. That evolved into me opening up the gym. And what I realized was during my time frame of training and learning myself, you think that 23, 24, and 25 is young, you know, in the boxing community. And it's not, you know, obviously it's like other major sports, you know, the kids in the boxing gym are your 6, 7, 8 year olds. It's a sport that you pick up very, very, very early. And being 24 and 25, I was kind of the old man in the gym, as ironic as that may sound. And didn't too much care about or feel that I was getting a lot of the attention that I still felt that I needed as a paid member of a club or someone who's still in you know, as a part of a club. And I felt that when I decided to open up the brand, I wanted to create an environment where an older person or a more mature person, you know, 27 up or 25 and up, could come into a boxing gym and still get taught as if they were six or eight years old, you know, and still get that focus. And that's what sparked the Sweet Science Fitness Boxing Club model. It was gain the fitness of a fighter without the fight at that time, you know, really focusing on people that were coming out of the white collar sector or professional sector that wanted all the attributes that boxing teaches, not just fitness, mental, self-confidence, self-defense, self-discipline, as well as a phenomenal sport, but want to give them an environment where they could come in and really learn it and have somebody focus on teaching them as if they were like a professional amateur child or a professional adult, really, you know, pursuing the boxing experience more than someone else that may be coming off the street.
That's an unusual story, but that's why we ask, right? That's why we have to dig, because I bet you 99 out of 100 people in your position just started off the boxing passion early on, had that, and didn't find it later on. But we see that a lot on the CrossFit side of things. You get a lot of people who weren't athletes, who didn't get into it, but not as much as boxing, you know, where it's a later in life, quote, later in life thing that happens. But it's cool that you stuck with it to the point where now you've grown this into something that's serving your community from youth all the way up to adults. I don't know what the exact age range is, but it sounds like you have a pretty good span of people who probably, if they don't know before they come in, realize that the conditioning aspect, you know, the fitness of a boxer is probably second to none in a lot of aspects. It's a really, it can be a tough model, and people may think they come in and hit a bag around and have some fun, but man, it can take as much out of you as you want to give to it, right? So that's where the fitness side of it really, really hits a lot of people, no pun intended, once they come in through those doors, I bet.
Sure. No, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. Number one, ESPN rated the sport of boxing the toughest sport probably about 10 years ago. You know, it came on top of their list as far as, you know, fitness and conditioning, hand-eye coordination. I think hockey might be number two. So you're number one, you're exactly right there. And number two, you hit the nail on the head again, which is people have no idea. They have no clue what the sport really requires, what it takes. You know, you think it's just two guys or two girls, you know, moving around that boxing ring, you know, for 3 minutes at a time. And it's kind of similar to golf. It looks a whole lot easier on TV than it does up close. And it does take a special person that wants to come in here and be dedicated and committed to wanting to learn it the right way, number one, is one thing, because it's very similar to like getting a black belt in martial arts. But there's so many different levels of it. There's the fitness part of it. There's the conditioning part. But most importantly, it's the mental piece of it. And it's a phenomenal sport because it challenges all those different levels of high-level athletics that you would want if you're looking to get, you know, the ultimate fitness challenge.
Absolutely. So you've been around in this for, we'll call it 12 years, in this particular facility. And that is a message that you've needed to get out to various age groups, different demographics, different people that, hey, if you're looking for ultimate fitness, you should come in here to us. You've seen the rise and fall, well, not fall, but the rise and difficulty, ebbs and flows of Facebook. You've seen social media like Instagram come about, you know, Google, search engine optimization. Have there been different parts of those trends and waves that you've ridden versus what you've stayed away from in your 12 or so years?
That's a great question. And that's ironic that you asked that today, because I got on my surfboard today and hopped back on some of those old waves, you know, because what happens is I think a lot of small business owners and people, they forget that you got to have a lot of, you know, it's like being a fisherman, right? If you can have you want to have one nice, huge, beautiful fishing boat and plant it in one part of the sea and have, you know, 20 lines off of one boat, or do you want to have a fleet of boats, maybe in different sides of the ocean, or heck, maybe even on different coasts, you know, doing different things. And I think small business owners have to look at themselves as fishermen, and you have to decide, you know, do you want this big magnificent boat, or do you want to have separate boats all over? And for example, today, I just got back on my Google page and my Google business is like, oh, you know, I had updated my pictures on there in a period of time and some of my stats were down. So I had to do a photo dump on Google. I try to make it a point to keep my Instagram, my Facebook pages up to date, but TikTok is not something I do a lot of. So what I do today, I got on TikTok and made sure we put a post out there. I got on LinkedIn and made sure we put a post out there. So, and I ran a Facebook promo ad, you know, for a show we have coming up. So, you know, you got to do a lot of different things. I think one of the things with me, having been in business over 12 years, is that now I know to always put a little bit of bait out there. You know, you never know what type of fish might nibble on that bait. You know, keep that line in the water, because as you mentioned earlier on in the conversation, with the fitness business now and the fitness models, people are all over the place. There's so many different things. We've done billboards. I've done static billboards. I've done digital billboards. I've done flyers. You know, you name it, we've done it. And I can say, you know, every little thing attracts different people, you know, and you know, if you're really trying to have longevity in this game, you gotta be willing to try a lot of different things, a lot. I don't personally do well off of Facebook ads, but I've had colleagues of mine who swear by Facebook ads, you know, so it just depends upon, you know, who you're going after, what size business you're trying to ascertain, and also what your core values are. You know, and I think a lot of those play into where you steer those fishing boats.
Yeah, I've heard people say multiple poles in the water on several occasions, but never thought about it expanding it, going one level up, right? Let's talk about the boats more than just the fishing poles and where you are. So I like that point of view as far as where you look at it, and knowing that you always need to give yourself as many opportunities as you can. You can't be all things to all people, but you want to make sure that the right people have the opportunity to find their way to you. And you mentioned something about, you know, wanting to know what size business you want to be, what you're, you know, while still sticking to your core values. You've got a pretty large operation as far as boutique fitness goes, the amount of clientele that you have. Where are you as far as where you'd ultimately like to be? Are you near your capacity? Do you still have room to grow? Where do you want to be as far as the size of the business, the fitness, the fighting, and then your promotion side of things?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, you know, we would like to continue to still grow and still build on what we're doing. You know, our vision is always to say, can you have both elements or all elements coincide in one environment? So we want to kind of test it out in smaller, you know, again, this year, testing these things out and say, okay, we start focusing on one, will it diminish the other, right? Because one, you're always going to have your core business as you grow, and trying to figure out, you know, what are you willing to sacrifice in your core business to create some other business lines? And then can they all cohabitate under one roof? And I think that has been more of our market analysis, you know, this year, and saying, okay, if we decide to get deeper into the professional realm, you know, do we double the size of our environment? We've got about 3,000 square feet now. You know, I think ideally about 7,500 square feet would be ideal. You put the boxing ring in here, and then you've got, you know, one side is your pro side and one is your fitness side. But then those are two different elements of services. I mean, those are honestly, in my community, those are two different elements of people, you know, and can they all cohabitate? So there's a lot of things you got to think about to make sure, again, the end of the day, it's the bottom line, right? You know, which is what I tell most people who try to come in and start small businesses. There's, you know, passion gets you in it. Love makes you stay, but the bottom line is still the bottom line, you know, which is love. The passion doesn't pay, but your landlord doesn't want to hear, I'm passionate about this. The power company doesn't want to hear, but I still love it, you know, and your clients don't want to hear, well, let me try this for a little while because it's a passion and a love of mine. So you guys just tolerate this for a little bit, right? So the bottom line is still the bottom line. You got to always stay faithful to the bottom line. And that's always going to be the compass of what navigates you through, you know, what you're really trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I like the way that you look at it. And something that I get to, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. One of the things that I talk to a lot of fitness owners is the thing that they say that they would tell themselves when they're younger is do it sooner and make the move. And we always color that in with, if you have the passion, you have to have it. You have to have the work ethic. Cool, you got to know you have those. But if you also know you have the plan where you can maintain that bottom line, because it doesn't matter, like you said, how passionate you are, right? You can't pay the bills with that. If you do maintain your bottom line, you can grow your business, you can help more people, you can influence more and impact the community. So those things are required, but they don't get you there on their own. There has to be some business acumen and respect paid to the game as far as, you know, revenue, profit, turnover, all of those things, or else, like you said, the landlord doesn't want to hear it, right? This isn't a bartering economy anymore. You can't trade it. So I'm glad that you pay respect to that in the way that you do. And probably a big testament to why you're here 12 years later, where, you know, most businesses at all in this country, small businesses, don't make it to 3 years, right? We lost a third of gyms during the COVID pandemic, right? Which technically we're still in, but not at the peak of anymore. So being aware of those things going to help you stay afloat when other people just think the love of the game will keep them in. And unfortunately, that's not the case. I wish it would in a lot of cases, but it doesn't. So you've grown, you've maintained. What does staffing look like for you there? How many trainers do you have, and do some specialize in different things? What's the breakdown look like? Because to serve as many clients as you do, I would guess you can't do it on your own.
No, I mean, that's a good question. And I think most small business owners, you know, not let alone fitness business owners, I know that's a challenge. And then with my space of industry, that's magnified by 1,000,000%, right? Because in a day, this is an art form, and it's something that's specialized, and we just can't, no one off the street can just come in here and say, well, I want to be a boxing coach and a boxing trainer. You know, we can't go hire an NASM or a ISO certified PT person, because in a day, it's not personal training under that context, it's boxing training. So to be frankly honest, I still do about 90% of the work, but I've got, what we've involved into doing now is we've got more of a developmental program. We've got some of our fighters or our boxers. Now we're going back to that old school, you know, kung fu model, which is, you know, eat rice, carry water, right? You know, if you want to be able to get to the top of the pyramid, you got to pay your dues. So now we're going back now saying, okay, each one kind of teaches one. And we're going back in the trenches and pulling some of our own people that we've developed and some of our own people that we've trained to come back now and help run classes and do things of that nature. So we're kind of going about that model. To be frankly honest, we're kind of in a beta period still with that, to be honest. And we're hoping that, you know, that continues to grow and build. If someone were to ask me, you know, which may be a question you asked, you know, what would I have done 7 years ago? What would I do different? That would have been it. You know, taking some of our kids who now be 18 and 19 and really put them through that beta testing period as far as saying, hey, look, you know, as you grow and develop in the gym, part of your responsibility will be to help those others who are coming into the gym. Very similar to the martial arts model.
Yeah, and there's a lot of crossover, a lot of carryover between martial arts, other, you know, combat sports in general, including boxing. So I can see where you can take lessons and the things that you see working and that you want to implement in your facility. And as you said, it's your job to beta test it, right? Some people might say, leave things alone, they're working. But if you want to grow, if you want to grow as an individual and entrepreneur as a business, every once in a while, you got to get outside that comfort zone and figure out what's going to get you to where you need to be, right? One of the sayings that I like the best is whatever got you to where you are is not going to get you to the next level, to where you need to be. That's great. Congratulations, you made it. Let's work on the next thing, right? So, so you have that beta in place, you have that policy. Are you offering anything else? I know you have your core offerings as far as the training with adults and kids. Do you go down the road of anything like nutrition coaching, supplement sales, apparel, online services? Are any of those things in your purview now, or maybe on your mind as adding at some point down the line?
Yeah, no. We do sell our own equipment, apparel, and things of that nature. Like, we have our own like little pro shop that, you know, unfortunately, you know, as far as things that impacted us during COVID, you know, that was probably the most impactful because we lost our supplier of that. So, you know, we were working on developing that and bringing those back in. But, you know, we've got our own group of our own apparel and t-shirts. And, you know, when we do have our own equipment, we sell it. So we got our own pro shop. And I'm very big on, you know, our own marketability. you know, if we're going to be in business with someone, we want to go to market ourselves. As far as, I'll be honest, as far as nutrition and diet planning and all that kind of stuff, not necessarily. I'll be honest, you know, I'm old school when it does come to that. You know, again, you're going to get out of this, what you put into it, which is, you know, most of the folks who come in to see us, you know, we hope by now you know how to manage your calories, know how to manage your diet. We send you back to the good old holy grail of the internet for all that stuff, because I'm not going to say anything any different than the other 20,000, 30,000 gurus, right? And I think a lot of times people are looking for, not say excuses, but they're looking for an additional, more information on top of more information on top of more information. When some things are just very black and white in relation to things. So, you know, we allow other professionals to kind of handle those areas of expertise when it comes to dietary needs and nutrition. You know, our goal is, you know, you come in the door, we're going to bust your butt. We're going to do our job. We're going to give you points. We're going to tell you what you should do. But if that's an area that you need help in, we're going to defer and deflect to other fit folks that we feel can help you navigate that direction a little bit better.
Perfect. So it sounds like, and a lot of this is going to be credit to the amount of time you have in business, the type of way that you look at things analytically. If we're going to figure something out, we're going to do it. We're going to trial and error, scientific method. So you know the directions that you're going in. You know who you are as a business owner, as a trainer, as a facility. You have that foundation, and it sounds like it's rock solid. There's always an area to grow or develop or a challenge ahead of us as a business owner, heck, as people. What do you see your biggest challenges, you know, going forth towards your, you know, your goals down the line, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years down the line, the foreseeable future?
No. I think our biggest challenge is just that. You know, growth is not always a positive thing, right? Obviously, when you grow, you're getting bigger, you're expanding somewhere, and that can expand not just in the positive side of the business. You know, obviously your expenses and responsibilities are increased as well. And I think that's always a challenge. You know, there's nothing wrong with blowing the doors open and having a waiting list and being desired, where, you know, you can kind of control your destiny from that perspective, where you're able to manage your calendar, manage who comes in your door, you know, and really manage the quality of what you're, like an artist. Right. You know, Leonardo da Vinci and Jackson Pollock and these guys, they didn't put out a million paintings a year. Right. You know, some of the reason why they're the great artists of our previous time, because they made one or two pieces in you know, 20, 30 years. And those pieces are selling for millions and billions of dollars now. So I think you got to kind of decide, is, do you want to be a boutique where I've got a waiting list and I can start mitigating, you know, who and how and what I'm training and we price that accordingly, of course. And there's always the, you know, Taj Mahal, bright building on, you know, huge castle on the mountaintop of, you know, 30,000 square feet, you know, five boxing rings and, you know, and all this other stuff. Right. And you envision that too, but there's a reality of that's more staffing, that's more responsibility, that's more overhead, you know, so wherein lies that happy medium? And I think that's where we're at right now, trying to figure out, you know, where is the happy medium? If we do grow and get any bigger, what does that look like? And then also, why? You know, what would be the purpose? Because I'll be honest, in our business, we're a competitive-driven business. And part of being in the fitness industry is you got to have an ego. But I think that same ego can also hurt you because, oh, I want to have this grandiose, large facility. Why? So you can say you got a 30,000 square foot facility with nobody in it, you know, or would you prefer to have 5,000 square feet? And every time you open the door, it's a packed house, you know? So I think therein lies, you know, that balance. But I think we're probably sitting right in the middle right now, which is a little bit more growth, a little bit more sustainability. So we can have a little bit more things to utilize, but things that we know are going to benefit what we already have versus add more on top of what we're already doing. That makes sense.
Makes perfect sense to me. It sounds like all you ever do is look at the big picture and make sure any move that you make has taken everything into consideration that you possibly can. And there's always things you're going to miss. There's always things you're going to overlook, but you're sitting back and not making impulsive decisions. You're being calculated. You're making sure that you say, all right, if I do this, right, if I bring more people in the door, how's it going to affect my onboarding process? How's it going to affect my community? How's it going to affect my space? if I change one thing, I can't just think, oh, this is great and it happens in a vacuum. You're just strictly all about the big picture and not taking your eyes off of it.
Right. No, exactly right. I mean, that is the big picture. And that's exactly just that, you know, having that opportunity to be able to do just that. Because again, if we don't take our eyes off that, we take our eyes off and don't think about the pros and the cons of something, something that you can think about as a pro might end up being the biggest con. You know, and I think, you know, from the years of this experience, you know, that's what I've seen. You know, you've seen gym owners who've had solid business models and solid things decide, oh, well, we hit, you know, we hit the ground running and hit the ball at the park this year. So we're going to go now and double down and look at some big, huge, you know, monstrous facility. And then 6 months, 12 months later, they're closed. And you're like, well, what happened? Because at the end of the day, also the people who come into your business, especially like mine, they like the boutique feel. They like what we have to offer. They like that we're a family, that we have a community, that we're not just for everybody. But when you grow things and expand things, and that can possibly change. And then that you know, that might take your core group or your core clientele, and they may be gone. And now you got to kind of reinvent that all over again. So like I said, pros and cons to growth. And I've been around long enough and seen enough to know you're exactly right. You got to be very calculated in whatever decision you decide to make and try your best to take the ego out of it. Because yes, we all would love to have, you know, a 30,000 square foot facility, but still got to put people in those. You still got to put people in there.
Yeah, right. And the right people and manage it, right? So you're dropping a lot of wisdom on us here. We are just about out of time. Before I let you go, I don't have a specific question for you other than you've given us a lot of things here. Is there anything else on your mind? Anything else you'd like to share? Any other advice you'd give to business owners who are new or maybe who've been grinding for a while? Anything at all that you think that would be useful to add on that somebody might need to hear right now?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that, you know, obviously been in this space a long time. There's no, you know, and it frustrates me when I see some of these marketing campaigns and some of these things out here that are tailored to the inexperienced gym owner or the person who's been into the business. You got somebody who says, well, I'm a guru and I'm going to send you 30,000, you know, new members next month. Come with, no, that's not going to happen. Because at the end of the day, we're in the business of people and no one can guarantee you what they believe that they can do. Because number one, where you're located has an impact. The cities that you're in has an impact. The demographic of where your business may be located can have an impact. There's so many different things that not one guru can come in and fix. You are your own guru. You have to become that person to figure out what your business model is in relation to the demographic of where your business sits. You know, are you in a kids-driven environment? Are you in a family-driven environment? You know, what is those intangible things that make you different than your other colleagues? You know, I always tell people, I don't have competitors. I don't look at other gym owners or business or boxing gyms as my competitor, because I know exactly what my core competencies are. And I know exactly what separates me from everybody else. So when you come to Sweet Science Fitness, I know exactly why, what makes me different than anybody else that's in the city of Atlanta that offers boxing, right? And so I can plant my flag and hold firm with that. And I would tell anyone that's in this space who's just starting off or looking to get into the space, you know, that's the number one thing. You got to know what your core value is. You got to know what your belief system is. You got to know what separates you from everybody else. You got to make sure there's a market for that, right? And then you go tell yourself to that market. And it could be, like you asked earlier on, it could be Facebook, it could be Instagram, it could be TikTok, it could be LinkedIn, it could be Google, it could be YouTube. It could be a multitude of things. But you got to figure out, again, we talked about, do you want to put a couple of lines in the water off of one big boat, or do you want to have multiple boats and they're all just fishing for you all day long? But, you know, that's super important that you understand, you know, who you are, what you are, and what you're out here trying to go after.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Last question before we let you go for the day here. Where can people find you? Where can they find Sweet Science online?
Yeah. Again, it's Sweet Science Fitness Boxing Club. We're located here in Atlanta, Georgia. Our website is sweetsciencefitness.com. That's sweetsciencefitness.com. Of course, our phone number is 404-736-6302. You can find us on Instagram @SweetScienceFitness. Again, that's @SweetScienceFitness. And same thing on Facebook, Sweet Science Fitness Boxing Club. Just make sure you type in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we're the only one here in Atlanta, thankfully enough. You know, Sweet Science is a pretty common name throughout. So just type that in and make sure that, you know, again, put Atlanta, Georgia. And like I said, we're pretty, if you type that in Google, you're going to find something on us somewhere because we got a lot of reels in the water.
Yes, sir. All right. That's all the time we have for today, sir. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for spending a little of your day with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for reaching out to us. We enjoyed it.
All right, sir. And to everybody out there listening, as always, we appreciate your time. We hope you found value in this episode. If you want to hear more, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. If you want to be on the show, talk about your business model, your entrepreneurial journey, fill out the link there. Click the link in the description, fill out the form. Someone from the team will get in touch with you as soon as possible. To everybody out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives, keep kicking ass. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast, where we talk real business with real gym owners. I'm your host, Katie, and today I'm here with Sid, owner of Rayford Shorin Ryu Karate and Kabuto in Merced, California. How's it going, Sid?
It's going very well. Thank you, Katie. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate you taking a little time out of your day to share with our listeners out there what you guys are up to. So let's hop right into it. Tell us a little bit about Rayford Shorin Ryu and what kind of services do you guys offer?
So we've been offering self-defense and traditional karate lessons here in Merced since 1997. Now, it started off being mainly for kids, but little by little, adults, their parents and older siblings began to come in and join us. And so we've started off, had humble beginnings, but now we're a pretty good size karate school here. And we offer the traditional karate. We offer the traditional weapons. And so there's weapons that are unique to the island of Okinawa. And so being that this is an Okinawan style, we do teach four of their of the weapons that are indigenous to that place. And so we offer both. We offer lessons for basically three-year-olds all the way up to, I think my oldest student is about 75 years old. And that's so terrible. Yeah, we're able to train people without them having to be an athlete. I mean, let's face it, nowadays you can't wait till you're in shape to learn self-defense. It's so even if you're a little out of shape, you still may need to defend yourself. And so because we're not a sport or competitive style, we're able to basically teach anyone, no matter the age, the physical condition, none of those things are factors in the training. We can teach literally anybody. So we're able to reach a much wider base of people than styles that are into competition and a lot of exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you've made it so accessible to everyone.
Sure.
That's amazing. All right. Well, I'm excited to dig in a little bit more on what you guys are doing. But before we do that, give us a little background on how you guys came to be. How did you know it was the right time for you to go into business for yourself?
So in 97, when I started teaching here, I had moved from the city of Hanford where I initially began teaching. And so I already knew that I was either going to train or teach or do both. My only issue was, how is it going to work out with my employment? So I've always been bivocational, teaching while working was some other company. And over time, the karate got to be big enough for me to consider, maybe I just need to focus on that. And it became more difficult to work for others and run this karate school. And so that's what it was like between 2008 back to 97 when we opened here. And then about 2008, we decided to just step out there on faith. My teacher, who was ill and on his last days, said to me, you know, you're a man of faith and you need to step out there on it and just focus your energy on what you're going to be when you grow up. And that was his way of telling me to just step out there on faith and do it. You know, when I'm able to apply all of me to it, good things will happen. He was absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. I still do part-time jobs here and there, but now the karate school is the constant and other things are the variables. And mm-hmm. so we focus our time and energy on it, and it has grown. It has gotten to where it's sometimes hard to keep up with because we just want to offer more classes and we keep seeing opportunities where we can, and everything that we open up fills up. This is a little community that's hungry for something to do with their children. Yeah. We find that when kids are enrolled in, for instance, City League sports, the parents are always in the stands watching. The parents cannot participate with the children. They pay for it, but they're spectators.
Yeah.
We give them an atmosphere where they can train together. So we're known as a family martial arts school. We have several families where the parents are out there training with their children.
Wow. So
that has been a wonderful thing to offer to the community, because almost everything else, parents are spectators.
Right. Yeah.
So that has really caused, in some cases, we have grandfathers and grandmothers with their grandchildren out there.
Wow.
So it really is a family. And that's I think if there is a niche, that's ours. We're able to provide something positive for the entire family to do. And from experience, something like that, this is the kind of activity that forces you to reach down and be honest with who and what you are. When your feet hit the floor, there's no amount of talking that matters. Now it's down to what can you do and what can you not do, and are you willing to work on the things that you cannot do?
Right.
And families that struggle to learn together really just bond like mm-hmm. crazy. I've seen families get much closer together because they do this together than other activities cause them to bond in. And so we love taking a part in such a positive thing happening in the families in this community.
Yeah, that's so awesome to hear that. Yeah, I love that. I think there's not enough of that right now, families getting to do things together. So that's
well, awesome. There's not. You're right. And we're also vendors for homeschool families. And so there's the homeschool populace is really growing around here. I'm told across the country too, to some degree, but California's really gotten big on homeschooling their kids. And so we're a vendor for about four different homeschool organizations. And that is another opportunity for the parents to train with mm-hmm. their children. And so that's been nice. We have the homeschool organization pays for the children to participate. And so we offer free training for the parents to join them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And so instead of the mothers and fathers watching, they're out there with the kids. And so we keep finding ways for families to do this together. And it creates for long lasting relationships. My doctor has twin boys that train in our school. And just the other day, they had their 10th anniversary of training in our karate school.
Wow.
And so we've got these children that are becoming adults in the school. And I also have, and I gotta tell you, this is the weirdest feeling, but I've got the children of children being brought to me now. And these kids that came to me 20 years ago are grown now. They have their own families and they're bringing their kids to me. And so I'm in many cases, I'm on the second generation of teaching in the same families. That is a real joy right there to see.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome that you have been around that long. You've had people that have stuck with you that long, that you're able to just kind of see those generation after generation come into your facility.
It is a reminder too of how old I actually am, despite how I feel. But it's okay. It's a positive thing.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. Pros and cons, right, to getting older.
That's right. That's right.
Perfect. So obviously, you know, you guys, you've been around for a long time. You've seen a lot of things. You're very well established. You know, you got into this business to help people, to make martial arts accessible to a larger population. So, you know, everything's going along. Everything's great. And then, you know, this little pandemic thing happens, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I think, you know, pretty much everybody kind of got punched in the face with that one. And statistically, about a third of gyms closed for good. So that's awesome that you guys are still standing here, still helping people. So I think what I and our listeners want to know is, how exactly did the pandemic affect your business? And what did you guys do to stay afloat during that time?
So what happened when that came out was, of course, the physical contact with a lot of people had to come to an end. And we stayed open. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, bucking the system, so to speak,
right,
just to see, you know, what is it can we do to keep this thing going? Because we, you know, invested our lives in this. And so what can we do? And you know, we had began teaching on the online platform mm-hmm. prior to the pandemic. And I didn't like it. I kicked against it. I was the biggest opponent of online karate teaching. I didn't want to be another Taibo program. I mean, what we teach in traditional karate, my attitude was it will never work. You can't do it. But we tried it because mm-hmm. some of the homeschool families are in another city and they wanted to train, but they couldn't travel that much. And so for that reason, we began teaching online. And I didn't really care for it that much, but we did it. We were able to serve families with it. And then, like you said, the pandemic came. Just so happens, a little clause in the order from the health department, and it said, if you provide online courses for children grades K through 12, you are considered an essential business and can continue operation. So once I read that, I said, oh, well, then I need to stop complaining about the online platform. Maybe I should look into embracing this thing and going with it. So I have to say the thing that I was kicking against actually became the catalyst of our staying afloat.
Yeah.
Because it was through the online platform that we were able to continue teaching until things began to open back up. So I have to give it to the Zoom, the GoToMeetings, the other online platforms. They actually became the method by which our business was saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, exactly. And the fact that our business doesn't require a home gym, exercise machines, no exercise bands, no weights, nothing. We all you need is a little bit of floor space in your living room and a device to see us on and follow us with, and you can train. And so we did that. We had people in other states. We still have people in other states right now that are training with us, but we were able to reach out to a lot of people. And we probably had on each television monitor about 8 to 10 families at once that were training with us. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Now it's a regular part of our business. We're back open, but we've got people on the floor and we've got people on the monitors that are training with us every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Yeah, I love that you're able to still kind of keep up with the online as well, because, you know, some people do favor that. Some people are still afraid of coming back in person.
Sure.
And then also too, just the convenience of it for a lot mm-hmm. of people. So that's awesome that you're kind of still able to incorporate it after the fact. Awesome. So I would like to switch gears here a little bit and get a little more tactical with what you're doing in your business right now. So what types of things are you doing to get people interested in coming into your facility?
So one thing that we do is I'm always, anywhere we go, I take a look at families that are out together, and I constantly see a mother and a father, or mother with kids. And to me, I see potential everywhere I go. So the simple business card and a few words in a conversation, I have no problem walking up to people and saying, hi, we own a local business. It's a martial arts school. Are your kids involved in anything? And most of the time they'll tell me, no, actually they're not.
Right.
I'll tell them we have a business and we would love to give you a couple of free classes. And so come on down and check us out. That has created a lot of long lasting relationships, really has. We have also put ourselves out there on social media sites. You know, of course we have our own page, but we, the homeschool site has a vendor page where you can just go in and say a little bit about your business, and folks have contacted us there. Social media has been, I would say we've gotten a lot of contacts through there, messages from there quite a bit. Location is everything. You don't want to get put in a place where you have to tell people that you're there. So if they can see it as they pull up to an intersection, or if they can see it as they drive or walk by, if your area has foot traffic, those things they come in huge. Are you in an area where people regularly park their vehicles and happen to look over and see you, you know? And so, and then also the times that we're available, we are available in the mornings when a lot of people are at work, but we're also available in the evenings when people are not at work and they're out and about doing things. And so if I had a 9-to-5 business model, there's a great deal of people that would never know about us.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
But we're open when people are off work. And right. So we're able to basically let the business speak for itself, so to speak. We're on a corner where all four streets in this intersection happen to be able to see our business. Mm-hmm. And so we do get drive-by. People will walk in and I had no idea that there was a school here. Well, there wasn't, but there is now. So, you know, when would you like to get started, you know? And then we're heavily involved in our church. We're on the worship team there. And our church affiliation, other things that we do in the community, they all feed the karate school. Everybody knows that what we do for a living happens to be martial arts. And so the other things in the community that we involve ourselves in always end up being a catalyst of someone coming to that karate school. So most of the people that come to me are not strangers. I know them from someplace else. So that helps a lot. So a person, if you want to have a successful business, you need to immerse yourself into the community outside of that martial arts school, because it's those contacts that are going to feed the school.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you guys are, you know, well-known, have a large presence in your community. Seems like, you know, all that organic stuff is working out super well for you. Was there ever a point where you had to do any like advertising, paid advertising, that kind of thing?
We did some stuff with Google a while back, and then we're always asking when someone calls, so how did you hear about us? Just to check and see. And honestly, that didn't really pan out, honestly. I mean, we're on any search that you use, not just Google, but any search that we use, that you can use, we pop up on that. And so I can't give Google all the credit, but the online platform itself, just the internet, we have a website. And when we formed our website, we were careful with our keywords, mm-hmm. and made sure that we use keywords that popped us up on pretty much any search. And so people that just type in karate, for instance, in Merced, California, yeah. we're at the very top of the list of that search. And that's because we were careful enough when we set up the website to make sure that we pop up. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, on the website, there's links to our social media pages. And right. The social media pages have a link to the website. And so we've just tried to cross-connect or cross-reference everything that we do, talk about everything else that we do.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like you guys have a pretty good system there for that. Okay, so, you know, I would imagine with most of your leads coming from word of mouth, referrals, the process of signing someone up, I would have to imagine, doesn't feel too much of like a sale most of the time, I would imagine.
No, they most of the time when people come in, there's some sort of need that they're fulfilling. Even if they'll come in and say, I need something for my kid to do. I got to get them off the video games. And so they're the ones coming into us saying that they have a need. And so then at that point, we just need to make sure that they understand that we can't address those needs. It just comes down to, do they want to use our services to do that or someone else's? Luckily for us, we have some of the highest ranking staff in our area of this valley, and some of the lowest costing fees for people to join us. And so, as I said earlier, we are tremendous people of faith, and we rely upon that faith in God to make sure that even when we give someone a break, that somehow or another it comes back, and it always does. It always comes back. It never fails to be something good. When we give, we get it back.
Yeah.
And so we find a way to help people out in ways that our competitors don't. Our competitors they stick to their guns. It's this and that's it. You can't afford it. Sorry. But with us, we refuse to let finances dictate whether or not someone can receive our services. And so if they have the heart's desire to train, whether they have the funds or not, we find a way for them to train.
That's awesome. I love that. That you're so dedicated, to serving anyone who would like to train with you, regardless of what their status may be.
Well, and I have found that an investment into the people never yields a zero return. There's always a return investing in people. A lot of people invest in companies, invest in businesses and things like that. I invest in people and I get a return that's usually beyond what I expected.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Very well said. Awesome. Okay, so we talked a little bit about how you guys started. We talked about, kind of where you are now, what you're doing. So let's shift our focus to the future for a little bit. What kind of business goals do you have for the next year or two? Do you guys have any particular plans, projects, things that you're working on at the moment?
Well, because we just moved into a new location, that's basically the focus of our attention right now. But we want to maintain what we have and become deeper seated into this community. This is a UC community now. So we've got UC Merced that wasn't here hasn't been here very long. There's new families coming in all the time. And so I just want to maintain what I have and let the dojo or karate school grow on its own. And usually when I just sit back and let it do that, the people that come in, they're genuine and they're there because they want to be rather than being there because I talked them into it. So I find that the ongoing investment in people and just being there and being flexible to suit the diverse needs. I mean, like I said earlier, I've got law enforcement people that need specific things. We have victims of crimes that have specific needs. And so we just want to be diverse in in the services that we render. Of course, it all goes back to karate, but we want to be able to address the needs, whether it's a activity for little Johnny and Susie, or if it's addressing the needs of somebody that's been a victim of a crime. We want to make sure that we're there for those people and use our local organizations to make that happen. We are also connected to the public schools in the area. Mm-hmm. And so we teach in the after-school programs. That's been another avenue of feeding our martial arts school is the after-school programs are always looking for different vendors. They call them enrichment programs, things for the kids to do. So we go to different campuses and teach martial arts in their after-school programs. Well, several people have come to the karate school because they met us in the after-school program.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. You know, we the schools pay us enough for us to make it worthwhile, and everybody's happy. More often than not, the kids that we're teaching, they come from families that really would not be able to afford the lessons if they were to go elsewhere. But because it's part of the school's program, their kids are getting everything that a regular martial arts student gets, their child is getting at school in an after-school program, and the parents pay nothing for it. It's all free.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that you're able to provide that service for kids that may need it.
It's nice. The kids go home excited. Hey, we got this man and his wife come and teach us, and they come to the karate school, and more often than not, if they really love it, the parents find a way to make it happen. And so there again, the martial arts school gets fed by the after-school program from public schools. So yeah. We're connected to homeschool organizations, several public schools. We teach summer programs at Merced College. That's the junior college here in town. And all of our connections in the community net a return back to the karate school. So
yeah, perfect. Well, that is amazing. I love to hear that. It sounds like you are out there in your community doing some amazing things for people. Okay, so as we're kind of running down on time here, I do have one last question for you, Sid. And sure. That's if you could go back and give yourself or our listeners one piece of advice about running your own business, what would that be?
Have faith. Just have faith. I can only say what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
We have a faith in God that says that we can do all things through Him. And we wake up every day and we close each day with that mindset that even if the day doesn't look so good, tomorrow's still coming.
Yeah.
And so we just have faith that the good that we're trying to do will have a return. And it always does. And so the successes that we have had have only done one thing, and that's increased our faith. And so just have faith that if you put your mind and your heart and your soul to something, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the people you depend upon. Don't give up on the business. Just have faith. Do everything that you can and have faith.
That's what we said. Yeah, that's amazing advice. Thank you so much for that. As we're just about out of time here, thank you so much for being here with us today, Sid. It was amazing to get to talk to you about what you guys are doing. So before we go, for all of our listeners out there, where can we find you on the internet? What's your website? Where can we find you on social media?
So the website is RayfordSorenRyuDojo.com. So there's no spaces in it. So, but Rayford Soren Ryu Dojo.com. And then on social media, we're on Facebook is about the only thing that we're on, but it's Rayford Soren Ryu Karate and Kobudo on Facebook as well.
All right.
Can't miss this. Type in Rayford Soren or just Rayford Karate or something like that. And we should be popping up somewhere. And if not, let me know. I need to change something.
Perfect. I love that. All right. So to all of our listeners out there, thank you for spending some time with us today. We hope you found some value in my conversation with Sid here today. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to click the subscribe button. And if you'd like to be featured on the podcast, click the link in the description, fill out the form, and a member of the team will be in touch as soon as possible. This has been another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. We'll see you on the other side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. 4, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.